Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Canadian Energy Services and Technology Corp conference call and webcast with respect to the recently announced results for the third quarter ended September 30th, 2015. Presenting for the company today will be Mr. Tom Simons, President and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Craig Nieboer, Chief Financial Officer. Please be advised this call is being recorded. A question and answer session will follow the end of the presentation. Please also be advised that this conference call may not be recorded or rebroadcast without the express consent of Canadian Energy Services. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Craig Nieboer, Chief Financial Officer of Canadian Energy Services and Technology Corp. Please go ahead, Mr. Nieboer.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for attending today's call. Before we start, I'd like to note that in our commentary today, there will be forward-looking financial information and that our actual results may differ materially from the expected results due to various risk factors and assumptions. These risk factors and assumptions are summarized in our Q3 MD&A, our Q3 press release, and in our annual information form dated March 12, 2015. In addition, certain financial measures that we will refer to today are not recognized under current generally accepted accounting policies, and for a description and definition of these, please see our third quarter MD&A. At this time, I'll turn it over to Tom.
Good morning. Thank you, Craig. This is Tom Simons, CEO of the company. To start, under the circumstances, we're very pleased with the quarter. We firmly established ourselves as the leader in the Canadian drilling fluids market, both in terms of market share and technology. PureChem is growing in a tough market. We feel very confident in our team and the plan we have to continue to grow that part of our business. AES continues to perform very well. We attribute that to our people, simply outperforming the competition through a combination of service ideas and technology. JChem continues to grow. We have more recurring treatment points for production and pipeline chemicals than ever, and volumes of gallons produced in our world-class plant in Sterling, Kansas, are also higher than ever. Because of the contributions from each of these parts of the business and the fact that we held back our dividend to a very modest level when industry was booming, we feel confident paying the dividend at the current level. When we set the dividend in better times, we were very mindful of the cyclical nature of the upstream part of our business. We respect the need for the business to carefully manage the balance sheet. We realize that in this market, a weak balance sheet is a weak company. Because we are what I call working managers, we understand how dire things are for our industry. We're on the street every day seeing our customers. Basically, we came into this downturn with our financial house in order and our strategy, which was set out 5 years ago, coming out of 2008-09 and the financial crisis, was to make the products that our customers buy from us, so to get away from being a reseller. And that strategy is now repaying us. We've only been able to sustain the business we built in better times by offering customers significant price relief while remaining profitable. And this is only because of vertical integration. We will remain relentless in building out broader vertical integration. We believe having manufacturing capabilities that can be sold into drilling, into fracking, production, and pipelines is the winning formula. When married to our culture that brings a sense of urgency to solving problems, it lowers costs for our customers. I'll move on to a more specific ops update for each of the different parts of the business now. Canadian Mud, and I'll remind people, this is kind of our legacy business, which launched us into the U.S. drilling fluid market. That combined scale gave us the confidence and really the need to vertically integrate the business, which is what got us into production chemicals. We have most of our work in the Canadian Mud business in West 5, West 6, Northeast BC. Most of the drilling money we're seeing our customers spend is targeting Deep Montney, Wilrich, or Duvernay. It's this expertise combined with our diverse customer mix that helps us work in other deeper formations that are also seeing drilling dollars. What we see happening is that our customers are finding a lot of production. We're hopeful that government and industry can get it right because the province has massive resources here. SAGD is pretty quiet today. We would expect to remain the fluids company of choice when this market picks up in activity. Our customers are the larger, long-term players who appreciate our proven technology and track record. Southeast Saskatchewan is still doing okay for us. We continue to be the market leader out there. These are smaller jobs, but they're all important to us. At AES, we're about 10% of the U.S. drilling fluid market, and this remains an important part of our business. The Northeast U.S. continues to be a relatively good market for us. We're seeing some drilling dollars going into the Utica, which is very high-pressure wells, which is code for big mud jobs. Mid-Continent is hanging in there. These are smaller jobs, but we're making money in this market. The Eagle Ford remains a good market for us. Permian is becoming a strength for AES. In a market where price is king, we're winning work through technology. MMH, our clay-free invert, and we hope our soon-to-be-trialed new oil mud lubricant will help us continue to expand our business in that market. I'll add that the oil mud lubricant we're about to trial was an 18-month project we set out upon with a major independent. We synthesized almost 60 different chemistries to arrive at what we believe will be a novel or unique way to increase lubricity downhole where the drilling fluid already oil wets the drill pipe in the intermediate casing. This, if we have success with it, could be a major sales tool for us in even a quiet market. Our Kermit liquid mud plant is perfectly located based upon the production results our customers are seeing. Our barite mill, we're still waiting on a little bit of electrical work and then we'll start crushing. In the words of our AES president, if we aren't crushing rocks by December, we're all going down there with hammers to Corpus to do it by hand. I am pleased to report that we're pursuing other materials to toll grind, as we expect to have quite a bit of unused capacity in this plant. We're pretty optimistic that could work out nicely. This mill was a critical piece of the puzzle in the business, and it will make the company money. Happy to report that we've attracted what we consider to be expert leadership to launch organically AES frac fluids. We're going to sell the chemistry to industry that's used in fracs to prevent scale buildup, to prevent shale hydration, to help reduce friction, to kill bacteria. This is a large chemical market that today is a very, very small piece of our business in the U.S. We're quite optimistic about our abilities there as a manufacturer of chemistry. Overall, for both drilling fluid groups, we believe we can hold our customers' work, and very importantly, we can keep our people so we can handle more work in a recovery scenario. On to production and specialty chemicals. And thank goodness we went down this path 5 years ago. Being all upstream today would be tough. PureChem has added serious talent in Q3, and we're seeing new business as a result. We're making big gains in Alberta in conventional. We're expanding in the oil sands, and we've just recently cracked the heavy oil market. We think we have a line of sight to grow in all of those markets with a longer-term goal to be a provider to the oil sands mining chemicals market. We need to expand our capabilities and add people to achieve those goals. So we're going to expand our manufacturing infrastructure in both Carlisle and Nisku to meet what we expect to be a bigger piece of the pie in these huge markets for production chemicals in Canada. CAP estimates the spend at over $1 billion a year for chemicals. We'll expand our facilities over a 3-year period. Our research and service lab in Carlisle, or in Calgary, opened in the quarter. We believe we can improve our chances to win new business by investing in scientists and analytical testing capabilities. Basically, our mantra is solve problems and lower costs. On to JChem. Business is good there. We continue to high-grade talent as competitors consolidate or falter, and we're using our novel or patented technologies to to help us expand our business in Texas, Oklahoma, and now into Louisiana. Our plant continues to have significant unused throughput capacity. The only part of the plant running at more than one shift per day, Monday to Friday, from about 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. is the solid chemistry reactor facility, where we run two shifts a day. Today, we're awaiting an air permit so we can complete nitrile and hydrogenation. When we complete those parts of the plant, we would push through theoretical throughputs, which require us to get a permit, which is obviously a nice problem to have. We're nearly complete our service lab in Midland, Texas, which we're confident will be a great sales tool in that important market. And we've just recently settled on 7,000 square feet of lab space in the Woodlands at what I would call a great price. We're very pleased with the performance at JChem and see a tremendous future for this part of our business. So where's all this heading? Our plan is to utilize scientists, our manufacturing capabilities, our geographic footprint, and our growing brand as a serious player in the consumable chemical market in the oil field to sell into all facets of industry. It's a unique time with our customers desperate to lower costs, competitors consolidating or faltering, and nobody else doing what CES is doing. We're being a vertically integrated business with a singular focus on solving problems through consumable chemistry, polymers, and minerals. We like our future, but we do respect how difficult conditions are for industry now. I'll now pass it over to Craig for a financial update, and then we'll take questions.
Thanks, Tom. In the press release and in the MD&A and financial statements, there's a lot more details, but high level. Q3 gross revenue, $187.8 million, down from Q3 2014 of $272.9 million for a 31% decrease. EBITDAC for Q3 was $24.6 million versus Q3 2014 of $54.7 million, down 55% year over year. Obviously, EBITDAC falling more than the revenue is reflective of the discounting that we've done to come to the table with our customers in all the business lines, and obviously the lower activity levels in particular at the drill bit. As Tom mentioned, though, we entered this downturn with our financial house in order. From a balance sheet perspective, our consumable chemical business model has responded just as expected in this activity slowdown, with significant conversion of working capital into cash. At September 30th, we have a cash balance of just over $20 million at $21.2 million. Today, we're just around $20 million of cash on the balance sheet, and we will exit 2015 with cash on the balance sheet. In contrast, at December 31st, 2014, we had a net draw on our operating line of about $60 million. So in 2015 to date, we have fully funded operations, dividend, interest, and all CapEx, and the small amount of cash taxes that we've had to pay, while bringing net $80 million of cash to the balance sheet. This sets us up that we will exit 2015 with a debt to trailing 12-month EBITDA that's going to be less than 3. We have a growing chemical business that Tom mentioned that is taking share in both Canada and the U.S. that gives us confidence, even in this very difficult cycle in the North American oil and gas business, as we go into 2016. We are not providing forward guidance on revenue and earnings for 2016, but under all the various scenarios that we have run internally as we look forward at 2016, albeit with limited visibility, we are not running any internal models that have us going to a debt-to-EBITDA ratio in 2016 that will exceed 3.5 times. And in fact, those 3.5 time types models are ones that have us growing in the year with some kind of turnaround, because we only get to that level on our operating line when we need to add working capital again to the balance sheet, which only comes with a turnaround in industry. In addition, to remind folks, we did renew our operating line for 3 years at the end of September. And we, at the offer of the bank, received an increase in our debt-to-EBITDA ratio from 4 to 4.5 at no cost to us. Once again, that was offered by the bank. We took that. We see under no circumstances where we approach any numbers that would require us to need that extra headroom, but we thought it was prudent to take it. In addition, the bulk of our debt is $300 million of senior unsecured notes that are not due until April 2020, and there are no call until April 2017. I will remind listeners, and we've stated this publicly many times, we will refi these notes sometime within that 3-year window at an appropriate time. So we feel very confident That is why we're comfortable to say that we can pay the dividend that was set at the modest level in good times through this lower point in the cycle and continue to invest in the business and all the things Tom mentioned in his report without impairing our balance sheet. At this time, we'll turn it over for questions.
At this time, I'll inform participants in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for a moment and compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Mark Wetzby from AltaCorp Capital. Your line is now open.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, so first of all, to touch on your PureChem, Canadian Production Chemicals, obviously pretty solid growth in the quarter there and market share gains. Could you provide more color on how you're beating out your competitors in that space?
Sure. I mean, the number one thing, Mark, is the quality of your people. We've had now the ability to react chemistry, do very sophisticated analytical work for 3 years since JChem came in to the business, and going back almost five as we established PureChem in Carlisle. The trick to this business is to get the right people, marry them to our drilling culture, which gives us a sense of urgency, and then solve problems. And the way you can solve problems is to build molecules and then have people that know what the local area needs and start formulating and then demonstrate that to the customer. It's a very slow process, but if you get on the work and you perform, you stay. So that's what we're doing. It's pretty simple. We think that our unique culture married to making these molecules is something that our customer only gets with us.
Okay, great. So would you say, would you describe both drilling fluids and production chemicals market in Canada and the U.S. as sticky somewhat with regard to market share?
Oh, on the rig, you can be released every time the rig moves. So you've got to ring the bell every time. We've had a third of the Canadian market for the better part of a number of years. Sometimes the customer mix changes a bit, but we're confident that we can be where we need to be on price, still make a little bit of money, and we think outperform our competitors in terms of performance for the customer, which we hope gives them no reason to change us out. I think we're optimistic that we're going to take share in the production chemical business. At 5% of the market, and what now is becoming one of the top teams in the country for solving problems, we've just opened a world-class lab here. We like our chances here on treating production, treating pipelines a lot.
Okay, great. And then just a couple more questions. Would you be able to provide more color or speak a little more on the pricing environment you've experienced in Canada and the U.S. in Q3 and what you're seeing going forward?
Sure. The customers are not making money, so they're on their suppliers to do more for less. There's two ways to get costs down for the operator. It's through efficiency and it's through pricing. So there's lots of price pressure. We don't expect that to subside until the customer gets in the black. And it's my personal view that even when commodities go up for the customer, they are going to hold suppliers down as long as they can. We just think that's human nature. It's how it's going to play out, and we're planning and preparing for that.
Okay. And do you think pricing pressure, looking at the run rate for margins going forward, do you think that Q3 is a pretty good representative run rate, or do you expect continuing pricing pressure to compress margins some more going into Q4 and Q1?
Well, we want to be careful and not, signal something that looks like guidance. Just reiterate, until the customer gets in the black, There's going to be pressure on price, and it's going to be across the industry for everyone. Nobody gets a pass at all.
Fair enough. Okay, well, thanks, guys. That's all my questions.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Dan McDonald from RBC Capital Markets. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hey, Dan.
Just wondering, firstly, can you give us a quick update on how your U.S. market share has trended here through October into the early part of November in the drilling fluid side?
Well, I think today, Dan, our job count in the U.S. is 76 or 78. I don't know what the U.S. rig count is, embarrassingly. I know what ours is, second to second.
Well, that's okay. We can back into it from there. And then just on the production chemical side, you know, it, kind of general thinking is that that industry from a demand perspective continues to grow, whether it's kind of high single digits or low double digits on an annual basis. Do you still, I guess, are you still seeing that kind of, you know, level of growth? And I guess, do you think it, there's a reasonable expectation that at least, you know, a portion or potentially the majority of it might get eaten up by pricing pressure, as you know, customers have started to look more at costs on the production side now that a lot of the kind of drilling and completion cost savings have been realized?
Well, from a financial perspective, it's obviously easier to show financial growth when production is rising in the U.S., customers are rolling in money, you're increasing volumes, and you're not under the constant price pressure. Not that the customer wants to overpay for anything ever, but you're not price checked every 5 minutes. That obviously isn't the scenario today. But unlike drilling, where the customer can choose to shut that activity down, unless they want to shut the well in, somebody is treating the production, and they're still treating it when the oil water cut changes. So what we think we can do is take share. We're not going to take work that we're just working on for practice. The customer obviously won't hire us if we're overpriced, and they determine that based on lowering their lifting costs. So many of those products are so specialized for each reservoir. You know, they're a little trickier for the operator to spreadsheet or commoditize. Basically, we think we can take share. We'll make money while we take share, but the returns won't be as robust as in a market where U.S. production's rising and the customers just focused on finding equipment to grow their business.
Okay, that's great. That's all I had. Thanks. I'll turn it back over.
Again, as a reminder, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of John Bereznicki from Canaccord Genuity. Your line is now open.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, John.
So in your MD&A, you kind of outlined some capital commitments here for 2016. Just wondering if you could give us some rough numbers around that and kind of a sense what sustaining capital might look like going forward.
For sure, John. I mean, we listed in the press release actually some of the projects, and Tom talked about them on his presentation here. A lab opening in Midland, Texas, a lab in Houston in the Woodlands, continued build out of nitrile and hydrogenation throughput at JCAM and additional vertical integration there. Expansion of our Carlisle blending and manufacturing chemical plant in Saskatchewan and expansion of our NISQ blending facility in Alberta were the ones mentioned in the press release. Those are all, if you can tell, mostly focused at the production chemical business, but obviously the labs have dual purpose on the drilling side. When we look at the numbers for those projects, we're looking at committed capital of about $20 million for 2016. That and some miscellaneous things. We've sort of got committed capital right now of about $20 to $24 million on the expansion side. And then sustaining CapEx will be in the same range as it was as it's going to be here in 2015, in the $6 or $7 million range. So call it, you know, all in, John. We've got committed CapEx for 2016 right now of about $30 million.
Terrific. That's great color. Now, just circling back on the margin dynamic for a minute, obviously you have pricing pressure, margin pressure. Now, just thinking through 2016, presumably specialty chemical is you know, a relatively higher piece of the business, and you do see that revenue mix having an impact on the margin, presumably in a positive fashion. Is that a reasonable thesis?
I think modeling out margin expansion in this market, even with that mix, is probably not conservative. We're not modeling overall margin expansion. We expect with duration, unfortunately, there will be, you know, margin leakage. The mix of chemical, though, being bigger part of the business than drilling will help slightly in that way, but we do not expect margin expansion in the business. We do see a growing chemical business in the overall business, and, you know, that is definitely a positive from a margin perspective. But as Tom went in detail, I don't think you can model in margin expansion in this market.
Okay, sounds fair. And then just lastly, in the U.S., as you kind of grow the completion part of the chemical business, I mean, as an independent provider, is there an opportunity for you to kind of shake up the supply chain a little bit and deal directly with operators who are obviously looking to cut costs any way they can?
In the U.S., John, our strategy for AES frac fluids is to go direct to E&Ps. We've seen big mud customers come to us, having recognized us as a chemical manufacturer and asked if we would bid chemical work. It appears to us that there is a shift occurring in the U.S. where the pumpers will charge a pumping fee and pump other products other than their own. So the operator is trying to squeeze out the resellers. Today we have some frac chemistry sales where we sell to logistics companies who then formulate our chemistry and resell it to the pumper who sells it to the oil company. And obviously supply chain at the oil company has kind of risen to the top in this environment for obvious reasons. So they're looking to go around all this reselling, source the chemistry, and hire the right pumper to pump that stuff to deliver the sand. If you look to the public disclosure of some of the leading U.S. E&Ps that are independents, they are looking to direct source things like sand, chemicals, the consumables. They want to buy them from the people that make them and have expertise in-house or from a service company to apply them. The Canadian strategy here through PureChem will continue to be to support the pumpers, both in terms of products and applying our problem-solving capabilities with our scientists.
Okay, that's really great color. Appreciate it. And then one last one, if I may, for Craig. I think you'd mentioned G&A kind of in the 13% range of revenue on the last call. Is that sort of still a valid thesis going forward here?
Running our own internal models, that is a pretty reasonable estimation, yes.
Great. Thanks again. That's it for me.
And your next question comes from the line of Ian Gillies from First Energy. Your line is now open.
Morning, guys.
Hey, Ian.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about the U.S. business in U.S. dollar terms. I mean, revenue was down about 10% quarter over quarter. Operating days were up. I mean, are you able to provide any, I guess, maybe a band of what the pricing changes were for both the production chemicals and the drilling fluids business quarter over quarter?
Ian, you know, we're going to let our margins and our results speak for themselves. It's a very competitive market. The customer won't hire you without significant discounting. We're not going to work and sell consumable stuff that we spend $10 to make to sell it for $8. But I don't think we can give that kind of detail in this kind of a competitive market.
Okay. Maybe looking ahead as we think about the production chemicals business, could there be a scenario that plays out where production chemicals revenue grows, but gross margins earned year over year is flat given pricing concessions given in the back half of the year?
Well, as I said to John on the call, I think, if you guys are modeling, I sure wouldn't be modeling margin expansion in this environment.
Yeah. Okay. And then with respect, you mentioned your four, I guess, key areas that you're looking at, whether they've been drilling, fracturing, production, and pipelines earlier in the call. Are you able to to provide, I guess, any detail around what percent of your revenue may come from each of those pieces at this point, just trying to get an understanding of the, I guess, the variability or the exposure to the overall drilling cycle?
Well, upstream's a much lower percentage than it used to be. In activities off over half, pricing's down, you can get to that math quickly, but we can't segregate that, mostly for competitive reasons. We're not trying to be tricky for people to understand, but it's better for shareholders and better for the business that we just aggregate this stuff.
Okay. And I guess my last question, as you think about the dividend heading into next year, I mean, is the goal always to be free cash flow positive after paying the dividend, or are you willing to use the balance sheet to pay the dividend for a period of time, acknowledging that, I mean, the balance sheet is in very good shape?
Yeah, so from the starting point that we've set the dividend in our minds at a modest level in good times, with the view that we can pay it through troughs in the cycle, with the comments that I made about the balance sheet as the starting point, when we look at 16, we run our own internal scenarios, and we are covering the dividend, we are covering interest, we are covering cash taxes, we are covering maintenance capex, and with working capital harvest, we are covering a portion of expansion capex. But obviously, we look at it and say we're prepared to fund a portion of these expansion capex that grows the business with our balance sheet if we have to.
Okay. Okay, thanks, guys. That's good color.
Hey, Ian, it's Tom. I'll jump in there and add for people that haven't known the business a long time. Coming out of 08, 09, in 09 we ran 120% payout ratio with the business. We maintained the distribution as a limited partnership at the time. And we were able to grow the business as industry recovered and be able to fund working capital off the growing business, off an operating line, and, you know, 5 or 6 years later, we're sitting here with a pretty sound business.
Agreed. Thanks very much, guys.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions at this time. I turn the call back to the presenters.
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening, for the questions. In conclusion, we hope to continue to expand each of our business lines. Our strategy remains that we'll continue to be relentless in building out vertical integration, having manufacturing capabilities to sell to bigger addressable markets. We're going to recruit problem-solving scientists to our labs in Houston, Calgary, and Kansas, and we're going to marry that with experienced people who service the customer to solve their problems to lower their costs. We appreciate your time. Thank our customers and our employees.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.